This is Ben Gujan with Quad City Arts, and welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I'm thrilled to be talking art with Matt Pulford, a visual artist whose solo exhibition, Away I Must, will be on display at the Freeport Art Museum in Freeport, Illinois, from July 31st to September 12th. Matt, welcome to Talking Art.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, pleasure to have you here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, you as well. We first initially met through the Putnam Museum,
where
you also work, and I had no idea that you were also an artist.
Yeah.
And you're having a great year.
Yeah, it's been busy. Things kind of ebb and flow throughout the period of maybe like 3, 4, 5 years in my life with two kids and having a full-time job and all that stuff,
You know.
So this is one of those years where there's an upswell, like a lot of work was made the last 3 or 4 years, and then I kind of spend time, all right, let's get it shown. So
yeah.
A couple shows this year, which has been really great. And yeah, the last time that happened was, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, and I had a busy year again of that sort, you know. So yeah, after this, I'll go back to studio time intensively for a few more years, and the cycle repeats.
Well, so tell us about the show at Freeport Art Museum.
Sure. It
opens July 31st, so this coming Friday. And tell us about the work that people are going to be able to see there.
Yeah, just kind of broadly, generally speaking, I make a lot of work that's informed by the landscape that we're in here in the Midwest. You're going to walk in and see a lot of abstracted landscapes. This is not a literal translation of a farm field or a barn or in any kind of a classic sense. So there's a lot of kind of non-natural color, really bright, vibrant colors, sometimes really pastel kind of, thematic things going on. But you'll see allusions to kind of the wide expanse of the open prairie through, like swooshes of line work, things like this. But yeah, you'll see lots of paintings, some drawings. Several of the paintings are kind of big. There's a couple like 6 by 4 foot canvases in this show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, always fun to to travel those couple hours, thankfully friends have minivans, there's some drawings, that relatively decent size, 22 by 30 inch drawings that are, a little different. They're, lots of kind of straightforward graphite drawing type things, but not as a wide expanse kind of, that I mentioned with the paintings, more of a detailed kind of, and we can get into the details of this in a little bit, more kind of focused immersions of little spots out in nature. So yeah, there's a good mix. There's even like a sound piece, which is a little bit different for me. Every once in a while, I kind of have fun, I'm really excited and looking forward to it. The drive even going to the museum is very beautiful. It's almost like I'm in the world before I get to the show. So it's really nice to kind of these undulating hills of that part of Illinois and the wide expanse of the prairie that I'm talking about. So yeah, it's going to be a fun night. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing that really impressed me most looking through your catalog was how wide a range your work covered.
Yeah.
And like I was looking back from your early work in the late 90s to now, and just, you've worked with so many different mediums.
Yeah.
And, you mentioned the sound piece that you have in there, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. And, I was so impressed with the way that you were able to work through so many mediums to, to kind of show us really a lot of different facets of the landscapes that you're talking about, whether it's the oral engagement with the sound piece or those details or those wide pieces. And what is it about that what draws you to that?
To being kind of, to working in so many different media.
Yeah.
I think, well, first off, it's just fun to continue trying things. But I think what takes you there, you know, whenever you're asked, when people learn you're an artist out in the public or a social situation or whatever, you know, well, what do you do? You know, what's your medium? And it is typically this kind of question for folks who you know, just generally chat in those situations. And it's like, well, it's kind of all over the place, you know?
Yeah.
And like, how much time do you have? So it's never been a situation. I was schooled as a printmaker, actually did a lot of intaglio etching, a lot of lithography, like old school stone lithography.
Mm-hmm.
Learned to paint, always drew since I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I think there's that basis of just kind of, it's always what I was doing, but really the more kind of more informed artist kind of explanation is that there's just, you know, there's so many different facets of that studio mindset and immersion of, like, you know, what interests you and what you're affected by and what you're attempting to articulate through a visual means, that it's just, it's more engaging in that studio practice to kind of branch off and try different things and think, like, man, you know, I sat and I plopped myself down in this field that's in the middle of nowhere and these things are really affecting me, and it's not just this visual thing. It's everything. It's this short lasting ephemera of the light that's kind of just here for a few minutes, that golden hour, whatever may happen, mm-hmm. you know, in the time that I'm sitting there, or the sound that's going on, of whether it's just the simplicity of wind through trees, you know, whatever's happening. And it's like, well, you can't just sit and continue to be whatever kind of single path that you're on as a painter or a drawer or whatever, you know. And it's like, it's just been a lot more fun the last few years to, and it's been informed by people like at this residency, I'm sure we'll talk about, who are just really doing some cool contemporary things with, like, making maps and just meeting really neat people, and that opening my own mind to trying different things, thinking through how you create things in a different way to expound on this kind of interest that I have or the things that affect me in that way. It's not a wonderfully articulated answer because we're talking about art and it's tough sometimes to do that.
Yeah.
But I just really enjoy trying different things and being a little bit all over the place. And sometimes that's frustrating to, like, you know, a gallery, like, oh, I can't put you into the show that's just this. And it's like, oh,
right.
So what, you know, it's fine. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do my thing.
Well, I love that you talked about the residency, and we can talk about that right now. It's, you know, you've been going to a residency for the last couple of years at Art Farm in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me, kind of looking, I was looking over their website, and A, it looks so cool. I was very jealous of that experience, but also, you know, kind of building on that residency to create these shows that you've, you know, the show upcoming in Freeport and the show you just had at CSPS. I would love to hear kind of about how those residencies shaped those.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, like, this is kind of a period for you after a few years that were a little more not as active.
Yeah.
And how the residency helped shape those.
Yeah, there's a couple different things to talk about with how that helped, how the residencies helped. I think first it's kind of important to lay some background context to really what has always been such a main driving force behind what I've made with my art. Is it really relates back to just kind of being this really shy kid who had the ability to kind of escape, to go to my brother's and sister's farm. It's actually half brother, half sister from my dad's first marriage, but we're really tight. And as a kid, I could go off for like a week in the summer with them, or, you know, a weekend here and there throughout the year, really, and just kind of be with them, and was given this freedom to explore on my own as a 10 or 11 year old, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like their golden retriever would just kind of take off with me, and we'd go off and just wander, you know, by myself. And it was okay, it was safe. And that immersion in that type of a space was incredibly empowering to me, because I didn't have to deal with all these kind of social phobias or whatever I had as a kid. Very, very, you know, very shy.
Mm-hmm.
My parents, like, I didn't talk for a while. Like, in school, my parents had to send me to a speech pathologist because they thought maybe something was going on. I was just really shy, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, I could be in these these kind of wide expanses of land by myself, and it just really felt really comforting and really warming, and that was great. So, you know, you grow up and you're in college and you're doing this and that, and you get your job, you know, and time continues rolling on. And like I said, you know, parent of two, and you know, here I am, 51 years old now, and those, that ability to do that is not really present terribly much anymore. You know, right. If you do get a vacation, you're going to take your family to go do something fun together, yeah. Which is wonderful. But to go to this residency that was in the middle of nowhere, you know, it was, I don't know, like 2 hours into Nebraska from here, you know, mm-hmm. Kind of near a town called Central City. And just to be put back into that type of an environment that I really, really love, mm-hmm. was wonderful. So yeah, you're at this space and there's really nobody around. If you choose to, you can just kind of be sequestered by yourself. You know, you might, yeah, have a roommate or two, in several of the kind of living quarters types of buildings, but sure, really you can really be on your own, or you can interact and mingle and maybe host a dinner or whatever with, I don't know, the 8 to 10 other artists that are going to be there.
Yeah.
Visual artists, musicians, writers, playwrights, you know, sculptors, all different kinds of folks. And so, yeah, you work a little bit, 4 days a week, like three hours a day, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of help build a studio or,
sure,
tend to the garden. It's really, really wonderful. But the rest of the time, you're just on your own to do whatever you want. So, yeah, being there, it was like instead of being on somebody else's land in the context of agriculture, you were in a cool art non-building building. You were with these really amazingly cool people, had access to all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But it happened to be that natural environment that I loved was kind of your roaming, your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it was great, yeah. So, yeah. Just to expound on that, I could wander around and I could like plop down in this tall field of just wild, you know, grass that was growing. I could get on top of one of the houses, actually. You could get very high up in the air, like high above the trees.
Oh, cool.
And just sit there and just observe what happens with the color of the sky due to the clouds and the weird storm that might be coming, or the wind and the tree, you know. And It was great. It was like, here's all my source material that I love, and it's just like so easily at my fingertips for, you know, the next 10 days. So it was great. It was very easy to sit in my studio and just get going.
Yeah. You know? Well, that was one thing about your work, and, you know, you kind of talked about some of that pastel line work that you're, mm-hmm, you're doing in it. And to me, it really jumped out. And, you know, so often I think, at least in maybe a classic painting or drawing sense, like we think of a landscape as, mm-hmm, as more of a still life sort of thing. But like, there's so much movement in your pieces, and mm-hmm, there's movement in the land, you know, the movement of the air, the movement of,
yeah,
the trees with that. And your pieces to me spoke so much of just that movement, and hearing you talk about, like, I'm sitting on a roof just watching it, and how,
yeah,
how a day moves.
Yeah.
You know, that really jumped out.
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, it's not a literal translation of what's going on. It's not,
yeah,
that still life. That's a pretty good analogy. I think back to, there's so many things that inform that ability to just complete autonomy and freedom to do whatever I want with this, mm-hmm, these formal elements of line and shape and color, you know. I think it goes back to just books I've loved that are very kind of fantastically, you know, interesting to me. I don't know, like, there's a couple, you know, more modern books, but going back to like Watership Down and these rabbits and things.
Sure.
Just this kind of playful, fantastical stuff that really early on kind of started to inform this, and having the two girls, you know, young, like, babies wrapped in these onesies or wrapped in blankets or wearing a onesie that were these colors and things, just kind of, my mind began, I allowed myself just to kind of dreamscape in my mind's eye. These weird things were like their quilts that would be flying through the sky, you know, this kind of weird stuff. And it was just like, here's my little whimsical kind of take on the things that I love about being out there. And, Yeah, you know, if this is unclear to the audience through this type of a podcast situation, you know, I'm sure the website will be up. You can go back and look through things and see what I'm talking about visually. But those paintings were just a joy to make, and that just started to take off, you know, mm-hmm. and has continued to really be kind of stylistically what I'm up to in one sense. You know, there's kind of a body that's like that. There's another body of the drawing stuff that we talked about. But also sometimes some of those works are, there's a few works in the show that are kind of dark and foreboding, you know, mm-hmm. and that was, you know, potentially kind of a newer exploration from the two sessions at Art Farm, because when nightfall would hit, I mean, there's nothing like you can really do to see very well outside of having a flashlight. There's right. no light out there.
Right.
You would hear things going on. You'd hear noises of animals, you know, and it was really energetic and engaging and kind of alive and interesting in this way
sure.
of like tying back once again to literature that was like, you know, or even modern film, you know, or historical horror film. Like, the woods can be frightening and
yeah.
violent and dangerous. So, you know, we're going, there's several tangents in this show that we're kind of talking about all at once, but, you know, you have these kind of drawings of these focused kind of spots. You have these wide open, colorful, warm expanses of things, but there's also some dark stuff that was, you know, I don't know. And I listened to a lot of crazy music, a lot of metal and, you know, hardcore and grindcore, all this crazy stuff. And it's like, thematically, it's just a thing that humans like to explore. And I was like, this is really wild and interesting. And I see this foreboding kind of a thing. I'm experiencing it firsthand when you walk from one building to another at midnight and you can't see a dang thing and you hear all these crazy noises. It's
right.
It's like, wow, this is pretty alive and hopping. So.
Well, and it takes you back to that primal place. Like, I mean, not that there there's not a lot of danger in the world. There is, but mm-hmm. like, not that primal way of like,
yeah.
I'm sitting in the woods and a pack of wolves may attack me tonight. I don't know.
right. It's fun just to, you know, to kind of play off of that. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So, but yeah, and I mean, it, you know, and all this is tied to what your experience as a human, you know, mm-hmm. you have days, weeks, months, years in your life where you're going through stuff and you're friendships are changing, you have life stressors, parents are aging and getting old, you know, and so, yeah, there's a lot of that tie-in, too, to all these variety of bodies of work that we're talking about, you know. I don't know. I think it's just the arts, music, literature, like, all this stuff is just what we do, right?
You yeah. know,
you're talking about the beauty and the worry and the horror, so, yeah, it's... It's been a really good couple sessions last couple summers. I didn't go this year, but the previous two summers was just great for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and another thing that really jumped out about your work, and if you want to see more of Matt's work, you can go to www.mattpulford.com and see kind of the stuff you're working on now and stuff you've done in the past. Mm-hmm. But you had mentioned earlier kind of those more focused line drawings that
yeah.
you've done. And one thing that really jumped out to me that they appear very simple, but they're so beautiful. And I loved the way you used the negative space in those pieces,
mm-hmm.
which to me as the viewer and kind of knowing where you're coming from and what your inspirations are, just spoke to that, you know, that big sky landscape that's out in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And kind of playing with that negative space. Is that something that was like a very conscious thing or?
Yeah. And there were some earlier drawings from, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago even, where I began to really utilize that negative space that you're talking about. Lots of wide open, you know, white of the paper shining
yeah.
through, you know. Just being, you know, I mean, Western winters are really interesting.
You're so kind.
You've had Steve Banks on here, artist here in the Quad Cities, and he thinks I'm kind of crazy for feeling like this. He often teases me. But I'm somebody when it's January and it's like 15 below, and I like to go outside and wander around for an hour, you know, safely, like clothes and boots on and all that stuff, you know. But what happens to the snow and the way it sounds and the way the light is and just the weird light that happens and all that is really, really interesting to me. And it's, again, what I'm talking about, like going out in these situations and like, this is a little bit foreboding. I keep using this word. But yeah, so that just kind of sheet of white that's kind of got that frozen crust, but there's still little grass blades popping through. I just was really interested in that, you know, quite several years ago, let's say. So that was kind of a starting point for that. And to get back to that and continue to, you're right, make them a lot more detailed. Like those were really, really took a while. And I really loved that challenge of sitting and like, just, I just love to draw, you know. It's probably, out of everything we're talking about, it's probably my favorite thing to really do. But to continue up with that enjoyment of that kind of sparse, barren kind of a thing, but to bring it into what I was seeing at Art Farm, you know, I was just coming upon these situations that were probably only going to last for a few hours. I'd wake up and go for a walk and look, and I'd notice like an animal bedded down there overnight. That's really interesting. Like, look what it did, and bending all these, you know, it would just kind of make these interesting swirls. It's like you came across a singular little pot of a crop circle or something. Right. But, you know, in reality, like this animal bedded down, that was really engaging, interesting, and like, that's not going to be there for much longer. It's going to kind of pop back up here, you know? Or, there was a huge rainfall one full day and a half, I don't know. And all of a sudden we had this river like flowing through the property. And it doesn't happen very often. Like, it might not happen for a couple of years. Yeah. This is like a once every 2 or 3 or 4 year kind of a flood is what the owner of the property told me. And we were kind of cut off from the other side of the commune, so to speak. It's not really a commune, but from the farm. And, you know, that went away, and then the next day, it just, again, all this interesting kind of movement of what happened, that's going to eventually go back to what its normal is. And all those situations, they're just short-lasting, whether it's, like I said, this kind of ephemera that you notice in the sky during the golden hour, or if it's just like these kind of water-moved things that happened. I was like, what a wonderful thing to sit and look at and draw, you know, and then take as its starting point and turn into kind of doing what I do with the pastel colors, you know, additive stuff later on to kind of make it more of your own take on that kind of fantastical layering of whatever else into it. Yeah, I really felt good about those, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I make stuff sometimes and you're like, oh God, like what the heck, you know? Or you get to a point as an artist in a spot where you're like, man, I'm, you know, I really ruined this. I got to get back in, you know, and those kind of always went pretty well. And it's enjoyable to have it, and it's enjoyable to struggle against things that don't go very well in the studio. But those were an easier road than others, you know, and a lot of fun.
Well, and that's sort of, I mean, I grew up in northern Michigan, so we had, it's interesting, our winters up there were not as cold as they are down here. Yeah. Like when we get those.
And everybody says they're worse. Like when we go to vacation there, sure. People are like, you don't want to live here in the winter. I'm like, really? And we kind of looked up averages of and snowfall amounts in the winter, and we're like, I think it's worse than Iowa.
we got way more snow than we tend to get here.
Yeah.
But the temps, like you don't get those winds from the plains that come and just drop things down to the very bottom. Yeah. But to me, there's nothing more beautiful than like that first night of a snowfall, you know, and there's just that blanket, like you said, of that sparseness and the silence of it. And that stood out so much in your work.
Yeah.
It's just that quiet that falls over the world when that happens.
How that change of sound is really, really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
When all the leaves are gone and things kind of, sound moves differently versus when they're full and you have that baffle in nature, you know, it's, I just love experiencing that firsthand. I think that's just really cool. Especially, I mean, I don't often think about this. It just came to mind now, but especially in the day of everybody, like, you know, experiencing this for so much more of our day now, you know, it's not a light out reaction to that to go out for me to go out and do this, but it, you know, it's important for me like to, even most days still, when I'm in my normal routine of work and family and all that, to go out in the yard and just kind of plop down in the backyard for maybe a half hour or so and like weed or something, just to like be out there and listen to the birds. I try to do that every day.
Well, and it's so easy to get disconnected from the natural world, I think. Like you said, with devices, I mean, I'm right here.
Yeah, same.
Two within 3 feet of me. But it's so therapeutic and so connect. Like, I just know when I spend more time outside, I feel better.
Yeah, same. Yeah, and the science behind that, you know, it's like, okay, I feel it. Yep, sure.
So you've got this show at Freeport coming up through September 12th. Tell us a little bit about the show you just had at CSPS in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, you know, it's really not so different. It's a lot of the same work. I think there might be a piece or two that was in that that's not in this, or vice versa. But yeah, it's a different space, you know. At Freeport, viewers are going to walk in, and first off, you're in a museum that has a collection of really cool stuff from, like, you know, different cultures throughout the world, from antiquity, you know. And you'll walk in and there's a couple gallery spaces there. So I'm going to have my show in, you know, the kind of typical rectangular white-walled room, which is, I saw it was a very nice space. I'm really excited. Nearby, I believe they're saying that their art guild is going to have their own show. That's kind of their individual artist's task, was to kind of think in the way that I think about all this stuff that we're talking about, which is really funny and interesting. And I'm looking forward to seeing what their folks in their community make. So that'll be showing at the same time. CSPS, you'd walk in and you're downtown, and well, you know, you're in the Nubo neighborhood, which is downtown-ish, of Cedar Rapids, and a very cool building, very cool staff. You'd walk in, large old industrial building that was very nicely renovated. Yeah. I'm not sure when, but it was a very handsome building. Small gallery on the first floor. You'd walk up the stairs, take the elevator up. Live music show space, bar, another gallery space, and then the gallery I was in was the main gallery with like the hardwood floor. So, you know, much taller ceiling, just a different space for the same work, which is kind of interesting, you know.
Yeah.
People will be walking around in kind of, they were walking around in an urban kind of a core situation, walking in and seeing the work. So it was a little bit more of a metaphorical distance to walk in, and where the paintings or drawings might be taking them.
Yeah.
But Freeport's a smaller town, and it is, you know, it's in a neighborhood, this museum. It's not off in the country, so to speak. But I'm assuming the community is more adjacent to kind of ag work, you know, smaller town, and not a lot of, I mean, Rockford's nearby. But I'm kind of curious to see if people talk about things differently.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really fun night. Yeah. There's a, like I said, that artist talk that, you know, I need to expect a Q&A for maybe half of that. It'll be really fun to chat with the locals and kind of, you know, hear their take on things. I always love doing that. So it'll be fun.
Well, and what do you find as an artist? Because I think this is so important for our local artists to get their art work out in the wider world. How have you kind of, as you know, on the business side of art, branched out to make those connections?
I think, you know, back in college, and still to this day, there's a lot of folks who keep an eye out for juried open calls. There's resources out there like the Figge and the Rock Island Arts Guild for their biennial. They use that cafe, CAFE, website. You know, artists can hop on there and, you know, you can kind of do that juried showing route, which occasionally turns into more, you know. The last 10, 15 years, it's been a lot of just relationship building that has just happened organically through the Quad City arts scene. Through being a student and subsequently working for Illinois State University back in my 20s down in Bloomington Normal. People you've met there, people I met in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for 5 years. So you just kind of develop these little pods of just friendships that blossom into, you know, they're artist groups, you know, and just kind of proactively keeping up on it, like, hey, check this stuff out, you know, really what happened, even with Freeport, is I had one of the staff members actively seek me out, like, we want to have a show of yours. So that's not always what happens. Usually you're applying, you know, to these spaces. But for me, I'm keeping an eye out for spaces I really think look cool, and the people seem like they're cool people, you know.
Yeah.
And these two places were a lot like that.
I was looking at the website of both of those places, and they both looked really cool.
Yeah. Sometimes it's blindly just contacting people, you know, and having, the days of 20 slides and a carousel and sending them off, those days are long gone, thankfully, you know, and even though it's kind of a nice romantic kind of an old tangible thing, but, you know, sharing a website. I'm always keeping an eye out on kind of the middle-sized Midwestern spots, you know.
Yeah.
Looking into places in Madison, Des Moines, St. Paul. St. Paul's bigger, but, just kind of keeping up on that. It's part of, like you're saying, part of the business end of it all. next round when I'm ready to be doing that, that'll happen again, and just start reaching out and trying, seeing what happens.
Yeah. And how do you balance? Because I know, try to do that same balance of, like, I have my job and I have my art.
Yeah.
And I have my family.
Yeah.
Is there a magic formula or sauce for you? It's hard.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, when the kids were young, it was a little easier and more difficult at the same time. It was easier to be able to say, they would just go to bed earlier, you know?
Sure.
So you could, like, go downstairs and I could be in the studio. And all credit due to my partner, to my wife, Kelly, who's also an artist, and mm-hmm. just understanding, like, yeah, you know. And that was, to be able to do that early on was great, but the more difficult side would be they were young and they'd need extra attention throughout the night. So it's like, you know, popping back and forth and, you know, always completely being the dad who, like, I'm going to be helping out whenever mm-hmm. you need it, you know, hopefully they would say that. Nowadays, you know, they're older, they're in their teens, and they're independent. Boy, they can drive, you know, they can make their own sandwich. You know, I'm joking, but,
they can't make sandwiches.
Yeah. But, it's easier, and it's more just of a communication with Kelly, to be like, hey, I'm going to be pretty busy working on this the next month, and I'm probably going to be downstairs a few nights a week, and just awareness to your spouse, you know, and with the job, just kind of always, you know, it's this omnipresent probably for many people of, you know, work and life separation and, you know, holding boundaries firm on that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And allowing myself to turn that off and go do my thing at night or on the weekends. It's a special, I'm picturing my studio down there as this little, like, you know, reclusive, like, safe little warm space for me, and it's wonderful. So thankful we have the ability to have that in my house. It'd be difficult. I understand, you know, the love of having that space that's away from your home to go and make a mess and, you know,
right,
and to kind of more easily snap into that mindset, flip that switch, like, all right, studio now, instead of kind of this hybrid zone of, like, walking down the stairs into my basement or back up. But it's worked really well for me, and I enjoy it. So
that's great.
Yeah,
it sounds like you've found that balance to the extent that works for you.
Yeah,
and your work is at the Putnam Museum, so mm-hmm. you know, kind of one of our local gems in the arts and culture scene.
Yeah.
What do you do at the Putnam, and what do you guys have coming up?
Sure. The title is the Exhibit Development Manager. Mm-hmm. When I worked in Chicago, I was at the Adler Planetarium and Astronomy Museum, and pretty early on, thankfully, had the opportunity to step up into a role of the exhibit developer there. And so I'm doing that now at the Putnam. What that is really putting yourself in the shoes of the guests who come into the museum and how they experience exhibits when they walk in. So there's a lot of working with the curatorial crew, mm-hmm. who are wonderful. The three curators I just love. And all their expertise and knowledge, these walking encyclopedias that I work with, right?
Yeah.
working with them to take that knowledge and to kind of meld it together with how do we communicate that to a wide variety of audiences who come and walk through the door. There could be older scholarly type, you know, adults who really are seeking out detailed information. There can be school groups who want to come up and whiz bang and try different things with their hands and make interactives work that way, or families who might want to mix. So it's fun. It's kind of the pacing, layering, a lot of graphic design of setting up these exhibits to developing floor plans, talking about a gradual unveiling of this Triceratops that we have coming.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun that way. What's coming up? If you haven't been to see the Kaleidoscope exhibit with Tom Chouteau, that's up for a few more weeks. It's everybody in the community who's seen that. His little guest book is just filled with praise. He's been great. That show's been great. He's an artist who makes his own kaleidoscopes out of all kinds of stuff.
They're so cool.
They're very cool. Yeah. Some are very big. Some are kind of small. I would go see that. After that, we're partnered with Smithsonian to, we're a Smithsonian affiliate.
Yeah.
And we're bringing in their exhibit kit, kind of, is called Know Your Treaty. And we need to customize that for our own community to work with our own Native American partners in Iowa and the broader region of states. And it's called Legacy of Land. That's what our title is going to be. Mm-hmm. So you can come in and you can see a lot of historical kind of walk through time of America and the way that treaties have kind of shaped what the modern United States is. And it's a more serious exhibit. You know, this is some really rough things that have happened to these people.
Yeah.
And it tells that story. But it's been really wonderful to meet some of these Native American partners the last few months. Road trip to Tama to meet with Meskwaki folks, wonderful people. Thankfully, there's a good, solid, trusting relationship that they have with us, and they know we're here to do the right thing by them.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a very different exhibit than Tom's kaleidoscope thing, but that's what's coming up there. And I could sit and talk about all kinds of other things, but, you know, I'd have to pull up the website. There's always events going on there. There's so much going on there, you know, every week. There's cool films being shown, cool talks happening. There's a lot going on there.
So. Well, yeah, and we're going to be bringing in a Native American storyteller as part of your time.
Who is
Leland Faulkner.
Yes.
Yes.
I learned about that in the meeting just the other day. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. So. Yeah, there's a lot going on with that exhibit. A lot kind of on the front end when it opens up, and then after that, you know, every few weeks there's going to be something going on until the show's done. It's going to be great.
That's great. And when does that open?
Oh, see, you're going to... I need to switch into my work mindset now. I'm sorry I don't have the date on me, but I know the Kaleidoscope show is open through, I think, is it mid or end of September? Yeah, we'll have to pull up the website. Or go look on putnam.org and you can see all that stuff. Yeah. My bad. Sorry.
Well, I sprung that on you.
Yeah, it's okay.
You weren't prepped for that.
It's okay. Yeah, maybe I'm not handling that whole, like, two sides thing as well as I thought. Yeah.
Well, I'm so excited for your Freeport show, and it's really thrilling to be able to see the kind of this moment you're having right now with getting your work out there. And,
yeah,
you know, it's really exciting work, and I think it's really beautiful, and I hope tons of people come and see it. You can go up to Freeport, Illinois, and see Matt's work at the Freeport Art Museum from July 31st through September 12th. Anything else you got for us, Matt?
No, that was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, if there's a guest who sees the website or whatever and is interested in anything, just contact me and chat. You know, I'm laid back, easy to talk to, I think. You know, it's fun to talk art, fun to talk music, whatever. You know, get a hold of me and we'll chat.
Yeah.
I appreciate it so much, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here today.
Sure.
Thanks again to Quad City Bank and Trust for their support, and to our producer, the man on the mix, Mr. Josh Graves. For more information about Matt and his upcoming exhibition, you can go to www.mattpulford.com.